But Psalm 83 for our look-see and study on Wednesday evenings. In Psalm 83, we've been taking a look at the enemies of Israel. And in this passage, as we've taken a look many times, we just for the sake of wrapping up, well, not necessarily wrapping up the thought about this list, but just from the idea of these being the enemies of Israel, we see their threat in verse number 4 of Psalm 83. They want to cut Israel off from being a nation. They want to do away with the name of Israel. And that's still at hand today. There's these that are mentioned by Brother Asaph here in this psalm that he writes in verses 6 through 8. Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon, Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, and Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, which is Moab and Ammon, as we understand it. Asher is that of Assyria, which we've taken a look at most recently, and seeing with Assyria, probably Assyria spans a great amount of time. There's seemingly few nations that spanned as great a piece of time as Assyria does, and probably there is, but it is notable indeed. And as I've mentioned to you, as we've looked about Assyria, and when our consideration last time with King Josiah. He's the fifth from the last king of Judah. If you have your listings there of the kings, we'll refer to that again tonight with tonight's message some. But then after, in regards to being an enemy of Israel, after King Josiah, we don't hear anything more about Assyria in that regard. And there's something that yet remains in the scriptures that we will take a look at, Lord willing, regarding Assyria, and which is just once again is the manifestation of the power and the greatness and the ability of the Lord. There's a man, a character in the scriptures that we will take a look at, Lord willing, and see about the Lord's working in him tonight. Tonight we want to just take a quick note, as quick as we can, to take note of another enemy of Israel, raised up because of her disobedience, raised up by God. And I want us to have this in mind and have, may the Lord help us with understanding regarding such. Israel had promises from the Lord about if they did not deal with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, as the Lord had prescribed for them to do. Different ones, different things, but certainly not adopting anything of the ways of those Canaanites. There were some nations that the Lord told them to utterly destroy. All were to be, at the very least, pushed out. And the Lord gave them instruction concerning all of that. They disobeyed. Joshua was suckered into a deal by some folks there in the region of Benjamin, not listening to the Lord, but thinking that these that were feigning themselves to be from afar, they turns out they were not. And so that things like that and other things, disobedience. So Israel had great warning about the enemies that they knew. But the thing is the working of the Lord, the working of the Lord is that his arsenal to deal with his children and to deal with his nation is not just with what you and I know, but our Lord can work to deal with us and reach us indeed by even those things that we don't know. It's the ability and power of our Lord that exceeds, again, our conceitedness, our self-knowledge. We look on at a situation and we say, well, here's the possibilities. This, 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 and this, and this, and therefore I am warned, or therefore I am blessed, or I'm helped, or I know what to pursue. But the Lord is the Lord also of the place out there where you and I don't even have a clue that it exists. He's the Lord of that, too. And I, and we, you and I, we need to remember that. And so tonight, we're going to go to this book of Jeremiah, and we're going to refer here to our list of the kings of Judah. And we're just going to quickly get what our Lord tells Judah, the divided kingdom, what he's going to do. And it's not Assyria. It's not Assyria that is going to be used, which with all the reoccurrence of Assyria and the use of Assyria, it chose the Lord to go about it a different way. I ask you this question, and I imagine some of you know where we're heading presently. Would it be that a Lord would take and build up and raise up an entire nation and use them to be a judge and a prosecutor of his judgment and chastisement upon his own nation, Israel, that he would raise up this another nation just in order to save some within? Yeah, the answer is yes. You know, the Lord can take a whole company. I'm talking about a very large company, and give it ability and give it prosperity and pursuit just for the sake of his children that need a job. God can do that. And so these are things that I wonder about in regards to this. And so let's take a look tonight quickly. All of it reading. I can't say it any better than the way that the Lord says it in the Scriptures. And let's just hear what the Lord has to say here regarding what he's going to do beyond Assyria. And Jeremiah chapter 25 is where we'll start. And it says here, and Brother Jeremiah, there on your listing of the kings of Judah, Jeremiah is a prophet that spans from the midst or so of Josiah's reign all the way to Mattaniah or Zedekiah's reign, the last king of Judah. And so that's where Jeremiah, and that's another interesting thing to put into this chart, is where the prophets are. That's a work that has no doubt been done by others and would be good for us to do. Lord willing, in the future, we can do something like that to have a greater understanding of where their placement is. In chapter 25 of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, that southern divided kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. And so So you see here on your list, if you have it, you see the reign of Josiah for 31 years. Jehoahaz only 3 months. And then Eliakim or Jehoiakim, one and the same, ruling for 11 years. So this is the time frame that this word comes to Brother Jeremiah. What's he say? It says here, it came to him in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 30th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, and to this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. The Lord has sent his man with the Lord's word. They have not heard it. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, other prophets than Jeremiah, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. And then think about that inclining. The inclining of the ear is the turn. They wouldn't even, they hear the words and they're just there. They just don't want any part of it, will not hear it. They said, turn ye again now everyone from his evil way. These are the words. And from the evil of your doings. And dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. Repentance. It's a theme for mankind, is that we need to repent before the Lord. It's a theme for the children of God that we need to repent before the Lord. A life of being saved and walking with the Lord starts with repentance. Repentance and faith in our Lord and his gospel, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man that did these things for us. And it is a life that will continue on till the day we go out of here. If it's a heart that is right and bent towards the Lord, to hearing his word, is a life of repentance too. Because we know that we sin and we fail our Lord. And he gives us great promises concerning such. It says, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings. Verse number 5, and dwell in the land that the Lord your God hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. Verse 6, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, to your own hurt. Verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. I've not looked up the verse, and it would be one most appropriate here, but there are verses that support this idea of Israel going and whoring herself after the other nations round about her. And look what the Lord's going to do. He's going to bring in a king, and he's going to bring in a nation that he calls his servant, and he's going to take and he's going to wipe them all out. He's going to deal with all of them. He is going to deal with those nations that he used to chastise his own nation, and he's going to seek vengeance on them, and then he's yet going to whip his own nation for her disobedience. The Lord will not be stood against. He will not be stood against in open rebellion. He will not be stood against in secret rebellion, as we preached this past Sunday. And so he's going to deal with them all. And it's going to be a desolation indeed. Verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, all the pleasant things and good things of life, the sound of the millstones and the grinding of the grain and such for food and the light of the candle, things that are just taken for granted. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is what Brother Daniel read. This is where he's new and came to understand that the captivity that he was in the midst of would be 70 years. And so connected to that, Jeremiah, a prophet before Daniel. And it came to pass, verse 12, and it came to pass when 70 years were accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. So he tells in advance. I mean, this is on down the road. And on down the road, 85 years to the end of it, 90 years, something like that. And the Lord tells who, and he tells how, and he tells what, and he tells when. I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. I'm going to do the same thing to them. Well, that's just not fair for him to do that. Who can resist his will? Yeah. Who can? No one can. Therefore, that should immediately bring us to humility. Yes, Lord. You're to be loved. You're to be glorified. You're to be praised. You're to be honored. You're to be worshipped. And you do what you want to amongst the inhabitants of the earth and in heaven. Praise be to your name. But we want to say, naturally, man wants to say, well, that's just not fair. I tell you what, the blessing of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord to bring the truth of His Word and the light of His gospel for us in our day, and all the blessings of the Lord, praise His holy name for His goodness unto us. Praise. We weren't born there. We weren't in those wicked heathen nations. We weren't there to be steamrollered over by Nebuchadnezzar. Praise God for it. Isn't that something that mankind always wants to make the quarrel with the Lord about His unfairness, when we don't even consider the blessing that we have directly, individually from the Lord, just in life and being in our country, especially our state? God's made out to be the bad guy, And he's the best that there ever is, always and forever. So he tells them in advance. And what should happen? There should be reverence. There should be fear. There should be a seeking. What is it that the Lord has said earlier in this passage? Turn. Turn. He said, turn. He tells it in advance. He's been doing it. And I will bring, verse 13, upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. And there's detail in that. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand. This is the Lord speaking, and cause all nations, Jeremiah, to whom I send thee, to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad. It's happening today, isn't it? I mean, there's madness in the world. The elites of the world and the elite leaders of the world pursue things to the detriment of their people and their countries like crazy men. That's what this madness is talking about. It is nonsensical what is thought to be the way and the answer. That's what the Lord said he would do here. Because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup, Jeremiah speaking, at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. To wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, and a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Ahaz, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon. Does it sound familiar? The listing sounds familiar. It's actually a broader, isn't it? But it sounds familiar, just like Psalm 83. Listen to this. And the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which were beyond the sea. Dedan and Tema and Buz and all that are in the uttermost corners. And all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. We're going to, Lord willing, we're going to get to that part there, that one day that the Lord will deal with all of his enemies, which will be all the nations of the earth. And this is somewhat prophetic in that. And all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore shalt thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more. Talking about the way it is with the drunken person, when they're just obliterated in their drunkenness, how they have no control, no sense. Correct or wise or profitable sensibility. The Lord, in this cup of his wrath that he will cause them to drink, it will do this to them. They will be filled with madness. Spew and fall, rise no more, because the sword which I will send among you. Verse 28, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. You know, in this picture that's being given, and a vision unto Jeremiah, if you will, going around to these kings to cause them to drink of this cup of the Lord, this vengeance and this wrath of the Lord. If there would be any that would refuse, the Lord says, you're going to drink it. You're going to drink it. For lo, verse number 29, I bring evil on the city which is called by my name, Jerusalem. He's speaking to the ears of, if you will, in a picture for us. He's speaking to the ears of these kings, of these nations. For lo, I bring evil in the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? I mean, if judgment begins at the house of the Lord, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Because the Lord doesn't let anybody off. He doesn't let any sin pass. Any transgression is dealt with one way or the other. He said, for if I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, and as they that tread the grapes. Again, another hint, another glimpse about this of our Lord Jesus and what's prophesied about him. Against all the inhabitants of the earth, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. As he says, I believe in Joel, the valley of decision. It's not talking about making a decision. He's going to be decisive in his judgment. None will escape. There's no future in being the enemy of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture, and the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. We talked about here several services ago about the siege, the terribleness of the siege because of sin. And a terrible picture it is that the Scripture sketches before us, if you will, to see how the coming siege of these kings, and it's happened over and over again, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to be one again, and then this ultimate of the judgment of the Lord upon all men. It is a dreadful and fearful thing. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready? And so Jeremiah is by the Lord prophesying, I believe, of things to come, and also telling about what he is going to do there to Judah, the remaining two tribes of Israel, Judah and Benjamin. He's going to bring and raise up another enemy that they haven't known. That enemy, the brother Hezekiah, opened up everything and showed everything to. And his pride, it seems, and his rejoicing and his thankfulness, he showed him everything, and then Isaiah told him what was going to happen. Then we come over here, and it's interesting. I find that this is the case. This is in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, here in chapter 25. But come over here to Jeremiah chapter 21, and it seems, I find this interesting, and we'll read it, and I've looked at this a couple times, and this is the way it seems that it is. And so, in chapter 21, in verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, well, Zedekiah is the last king of Judah. And so it's interesting that the order of this is kind of backwards. We have it in the order that the Lord wants us to have it. But if we're going to take a look at it in a timeline, this is a word that came later than what we read in chapter 25. Zedekiah, or on your listing there of your chart, if you have that, I have it as Mattaniah. They're one and the same. You can take a look at those verses over there in 2 Kings 24. Start at verse 17. Read 17, 18, and 19. What it is, this last king, Mattaniah, renamed Zedekiah by Nebuchadnezzar, is an uncle to this last king, Jehoiachin, not even in the line, not even in the kingly line. Nebuchadnezzar came in there and said, "I'm the boss now, and you're king." not the descendancy of those that had rebelled against him. And Zedekiah himself rebels against him too to bring to their end. So here in chapter 21, let's read quickly. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, "Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us." And so this is here at the end. It doesn't give us a time frame, but it's in his reign, of course. It says, "Go to the Lord for us, Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." Then said Jeremiah unto them, "Thus shall you say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls. I will assemble them into the midst of this city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and all the people, and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those that seek their life, and he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. But in this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." The Lord said, here's what you've got. You go out there and surrender, and you'll live. You stay in here and fight, you're going to die. Because the Lord has already sent warning by the prophet and others. If you buck up against my chastisement, the Lord speaking and myself paraphrasing, you're going to die. But if you take it, you'll live. That's a message to you and me. As children, we don't need to buck up against the Lord. He meets out chastisement to us. We need to repent. We need to ask him to forgive us. We need to see and understand the why for such and to ask the Lord to forgive us and submit unto him. See, theirs was not even a heart of submission. "For I have set my face against this city for evil," verse 10, "and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. Lest my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." A righteous reign, righteous judgment, righteous holding to the right, holding to the statute, the judgments, the testimonies, the law, the word of the Lord. Obey it. He says, do it. "Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley," verse 13, "and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about." No escape. No escape. Everything you and I think of, the Lord's got that covered. And then what you and I don't think of, he's got that taken care of beyond what we can even consider. He's going to bring, he's bringing an enemy that they didn't even know about. And then lastly, in Jeremiah chapter 32, just touching on this about Babylon and the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar. So very interesting how the Lord, His greatness. He prophesied these people. We saw about Josiah some hundreds of years before, fifth king of Judah, and the blessing that Josiah was, and how seemingly to me, as we saw last time, there that's written in Isaiah 57, the Lord just, it was time, and the Lord took Josiah home. He just took him out of there, to start meting out his wrath and his chastisement and judgment and final upon his nation. And in Jeremiah 32, verse number 1, we read here, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah." You'll notice on your chart there, Mattaniah, Zedekiah, they're one and the same. I need to update the list. He reigned for 11 years. So the siege is on. There's only that one more piece of a year or so for him to reign. And so this word comes in that 10th year of Zedekiah. We want to skip on down. I'll read the entire chapter. We pick it up here at verse number 16. "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase," and so a siege is on, Jeremiah's in jail. One comes to him and says, "I want to sell you my land." Now I want you to think about that. There's a siege on the city, and there's this parcel land outside of the city, if I understand it right. Nevertheless, it's parcel land somewhere, whether it's in the city or out of it. It really is no matter. And the kin that has it comes to Jeremiah in jail and says, "Won't you buy this of me? You've got the right to it." Well, Jeremiah is impressed and led of the Lord to go ahead and buy it. I mean, why give away your money when there's no future, right? I think that's the point. But listen to what's said here. "Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the besom of their children after them, into the beast, the bosom, rather, of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name." So he's worshiping the Lord. He's praying unto him. He's got something he wants to know about. "Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day." He's bringing his prophecy, every word to pass that he has prophesied through Brother Jeremiah. "And has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs." He's thinking about all the way to the beginning of the nation. "And with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. And has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, and they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all thou hast commanded them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come into the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans." Now, Jeremiah's in jail, and he had to have some witnesses to do this. He had to have somebody get his money, I believe, if I understand it and remember it correctly. And they're thinking, Nebuchadnezzar's on the outside. This city's under siege. What are you doing a transaction like this? This is crazy. And he does it all right. He gets all the witnesses right. The money is weighed out correctly and everything. And no doubt people are saying, the people that are seeing that and everything, with Jeremiah in jail and the siege going on, what in the world? I tell you what. faith in the Lord and His Word and what He leads in is going to look naive to people. You and I need to get a hold of that. It's going to look like those that have faith in the Lord, to what He leads in and what He says in His Word, when everything looks impossible, it's going to look like the one that's got faith in the Lord and what He said to do and follow in, it's going to look like they're crazy. That's what they thought of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has trepidation indeed about it. And so what's he doing? He's doing what we should do. We pray unto the Lord. He's not over there in his cell scratching his head wondering how it's all going to come out. But he has worshiped the Lord and going to the Lord for an answer. O Lord God, buy thee the field of money and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses, and upon whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. The Lord never forgets. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them, and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land. That's the reason he's telling Jeremiah to buy the field. It's coming back. Jeremiah may have never saw it, but that wasn't the purpose. Because this is prophetic about the way that the Lord's going to deal with Israel and the way he's going to wrap up this whole earth. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witness in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem. It's been happening for some years now by the Jews. It will continue on. And in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and the cities of the valley and the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Who is it that lives? the children of the Lord. That's who lives. And any of this, do we hear anything about the enemies of the Lord? No. The enemies of the Lord, they don't live. They don't last. They don't stand. But the Lord and His people will stand indeed. And He will bring it to pass. Don't be the enemy of the Lord. If you're hearing you're not saved, that's where you're at, is the enemy of the Lord. So, Brother Jim, maybe one would say, I'm young, or I don't despise the Lord. I don't seek a bad thing against the Lord. If you have not received Him and the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, repented of your sins before God and believed and trusted in Him and His gospel, you are the Lord's enemy. Now, I don't say that to run you down, but I'm just saying you that as the warning. And the enemies of the Lord won't stand. What's the Lord say? Turn. He says, turn. It's His idea for sinners to turn. It's His idea for salvation to be wrought. He's the Savior of sinners and of the repentant and of the believing and trusting in Him. And as we've seen in our study, the enemies of Israel will not stand. The enemies of God will not stand. But the children of the Lord will shine unto Him forever. His nation, His people, His children indeed.